Okay, but today's class is very exciting. So hopefully, well, there are some brainless calculation, which you would have noted by me coughing. But otherwise, it's a very exciting class because it's the last lecture and we'll finally arrive at our goal is to build the unitary solvable D equals 2 CFT. At least we have a recipe how to do it. And you will actually build the D equals 2 Ising model in your homework with something like H or M parts. Maybe I'm breaking it down even more than you can use A to Z. The more I broke down, the better, right? If the homework I hand out says, build Ising model equals 2 for me. Okay, so what we have learned so far is that we have a Carroll field always energy momentum, and then we'll do the Laurent expansion for it. And then we'll find the commutator of the LNs, which is a Virasoro algebra, which give you a term that we're very familiar with because it's from the Witt algebra. But then there's also the other term says C over 12. N plus 1, N minus 1. And there is a condition, it's only going to show up when N plus M goes to 0. And then what we did last time is that I can, because we're in 2D, we're on a complex plane. So this is possible if I have a primary field, I decided to bring it to the origin. And that will give me a local field. And we're acting on vacuum. We claim this is our in state. And later on we realize, ha, this state, I can label it with conformal weight, which is defined to be the eigenvalue for L0. Remember, L0 is the dilatation on complex plane, which is basically the time. So H is our energy. And further, yesterday we spent a long time to build the Hilbert space using the highest weight method. Basically, you are handed an algebra. The thing you always do is find the SU2 subalgebras and they use the same method to build Hilbert space. And then what we happily find is that this instate labeled by H is indeed the highest weight because all the LNs, for positive LNs, it's annihilated. And then we realize, on the other hand, I can use the minus n, which conveniently we have L minus n equals L n dagger. We can use L minus n to build the descendant. And if we measure its energy, you get H plus n. You get more energy. So those are the distance and the. Then we say that we're going to define our descendant operators very formally, says that we're just going to find the T phi OPE, but without demanding, it's we'll recover the regular terms from the carpet and then say we define this way. The reason of doing so is then we have L0 acting on phi. The zeroth level descendant is itself. And importantly, the first descendant is the derivative of phi. And after this, we say, well, we don't really care about descendants, since whenever you have a descendant, we are just going to say that it's come out to be some horrible differential operator acting on the correlation function of the primaries. So descendants, don't worry about them. Just find all the primaries, then we'll be done. So now we can really start today's lecture, which is on how to build your own unitary solvable D equals to 2 CFT. Okay, well, those words up to here, it's simple words. So the first word I'm going to explain is unitarity. By unitarity, what it actually just defined, the meaning is just if I have a state and I want to look at the norm, we demand the norm is non-negative. So that's all I meant by unitarity. Okay, so of course, if we are given a primary operator, we're already assuming this is true. Otherwise, we say this is a non-unitary module, so then we'll say it's beyond the scope, and you should look at that giant orange or yellow book, Bible of CFT on 2D to figure it out. So our starting point is we have non-negative norm primary state. So the next thing we need to consider is its decedent. So the first thing we consider is this guy. So let me remind you again, L minus one is really I one dagger. So this time, the first time we do this, I'll do it slowly, but it will pick up the speed as we're gonna do it a lot of times today. So this is the norm of the first decedent of a primary field coming out of nowhere. And then we say, okay, so the dagger of this should be L1 because of that relationship, and you have the H over there here. And then we're gonna use this trick again, which we used a lot of time yesterday already, is whenever you see something we can't handle, we'll write it as the commutator. And because the other side, okay, the first time I'll write it out, but it should be clear that since the other one has one acting on H, it's just gonna vanish because we assume H has highest weight. So this is gonna be the strategy doing calculation today all the time until like you feel like this is brainless calculation, then we'll just give you the result calculated by some mathematician. Okay, the first time we find the commutator, switch this. And this we can use our established algebra over there, which is n minus m, which is 2, and plus m is 0. Ah, this is very good, because I know L0 is our, it's really the energy eigenstate. So this seems to be demanding this guy bigger than 0, seems to say that we should have, there's a problem I wouldn't be able to reach it. That the conformal weight should be bigger or equal to 0. So this is good. Let's draw this plane of H and C, which remember that our model is determined by the central charge. And after that, if you can find all the primary field according to this beautiful result, we're almost done. We have to find the structure constant. So also, but now can happily say, ha, we killed half of the plane. Because H should be bigger than 0. Well, that norm, basically equals zero if it's h equals zero. But h equals zero is the identity operator. Normally we don't consider it very often. So the non-trivial primary field will have the fact that the conformal weight is non-negative. Okay, level two. Okay, so let's see if we can speed up. In this calculation, again, so now without even writing the other part, I know that only the commutator will contribute. And what's different now is that since we're not within the 1, 0, minus 1 thing, this thing would actually contribute. The first time the central charge is going to play a role in our calculation. Isn't that exciting? So the first part is the same, 2 minus 2 is 4, L0, but then there is this cute central charge pops into our life, which is C over 2, because it's 2 times 1 times 3. Yeah. So now we have 4H plus 3 over 2. If we have a really small h, such as now we consider identity so that you even have h equals 0, then demanding this one is really telling you that, well, actually, identity operator is always there, so demanding this gives that we should have C. Central charge is also bigger or equal to 0. So without doing much work, we already restrain this plane into the first quadrant. That's pretty neat. And now we're just going to say we're taking a dramatic halt. We're going to halt on this because I could just, you know, do the, for the rest of the class, I can just try to figure out the unitarity constraint for this plane. But then, you know, it's also nice that somebody will do it. First of all, this seems to be something systematic. You can give the computer to do it. And even nicer, somebody has already done it, and we'll just look at the result and see what happens to that plane. Now, let's look at our second problem, which is solvable. So what do we mean by solvable? Well, a solvable CFT, it means that if you're given a bunch of conformal weight, H, and then you are given some structure constant with the catch that the structure constant needs to obey the crossing symmetry. And this is the complicated part. Everybody can hand you a bunch of H and a bunch of CITK, but that's not a CFT yet. It's a CFT if these CIJK actually satisfy very particular constraints. And in your homework, you already show that this is good enough, because you show that the five-point function automatically has the desire. You can fuse your operators in any order you want, as long as you assume that it works for the four-point function. So what do we do? Our desire is to find all the four-point correlation function. Okay, that's crazy. But later on, that has been halted. Later on, we will realize there are only finite of them. So finding finite number of four-point correlation function is still crazy, because I don't know anything. How am I supposed to figure out what's the correlation function? Well, except this comes back to the point that we are living in 2D, and we can always make wishes. Last time we make the wish says, if this crazy energy momentum tensor They are only diagonal, and each component either only depend on Z or only depend on Z bar, then life would be so much easier. We can do Laurent expansion and find the algebra, and the algebra doesn't talk to the anti-holomorphic part of the algebra. Things get dramatically easier. And now we're going to make another wish. You can pull out your genie bottle. I'll find a wishing well to throw some coins in, but this is our wish. We wish that, there is a notation problem, but let's see. I wish this thing is zero, where I'm using a new notation says this is defined by a conformal weight and a bunch of numbers, and this bunch of number is the one, is the things that acting on the primary. So this is just a generic descendant. It's much easier to write the chi than whatever it represents. Okay, so I'm making a wish, says that for some specific, if we can find that such descendant, such that all the correlation function with this descendant is zero, then I'm done, because then I have, yes, find chi such that, then I will have differential equations of primaries. And then I can ask people to solve these differential equations. Then I will have all the four-point functions at my disposal, and such that everything worked out, and then we got a solvable theory. And this chi actually, so this is clear. So this, how is this going to happen, is that some chi is actually a hidden highest weight state. By which, whenever we say highest weight state, you should automatically translate it into acting positive modes on this state, it annihilated it. So the world, what we hid from you yesterday was that I claim, hey, I built all the Hilbert space and it's crazily degenerate and blah blah. There is a fun fact, they are not irreducible representation. In particular, there are some highest weight state hidden in this descendants that make this representation reducible. And what we're gonna do is we're gonna find them and get rid of them from our representation yesterday. And what we're left with will be irreducible. So the idea is, if some descendant happen also to be primary, which is defined to be annihilated by Ln, then we're going to show that this correlation function is indeed zero. And then, if that's true, then we can find the differential equations of four-point correlation function. And then in the homework, you actually solve some of this differential equation says, okay, now I have all the four-point correlation function. Okay, so first, let's show this claim is true. Claim, if such hidden weight, highest weight exists, then this chi could really, the it's orthogonal to everything. So these guys are also known as the null state. You cannot form non-zero correlation from them. Because of this orthogonal to everything problem, then they should really be kicked out of your representation. So okay, so let's look at how this guy's, let's see, suppose I have chi prime and a chi, and because of the property of the two-point correlation function, this is going to say it's non-zero only when h equals h bar, and then the energy of each state should be really the same. So they should be both have the, if they don't have the same energy, then they are of course orthogonal to each other, because we're diagonalize L0 to get the energy. The states of different energy wouldn't overlap. So let's now take two states that has the same energy, and they are even at the same level. Then I could write it out as some, so now I'm just writing out the definition of this guy, and then says that, so this operator acting on the left. So this is the Hermitian conjugate of one of our state that at the same energy, at the same level. But then this, remember that also they have a dagger on it. But that means that if I wanted to write this bunch of operator acting on the right, then the minus sign disappeared because these generators has the good property of L minus n dagger equals Ln. And now you see we're done because this thing this guy is a hidden highest weight state. Then by definition, that means the positive most is annihilated. So now we have the full proof that suppose such state exists. If we find one, then this one will be orthogonal to everything. And it is indeed a null state. And then the rest logic will follow, such if it's a null state, then that correlation function is zero, and then we are able to find differential equation of four-point correlation function, and we're able to constrain the structure constants. Okay, so the next step, well, the step we just did is assume it exists. Of course, the next step is we should go hunting, and it says, let's find a new null state. I mean, it's wishful thinking so far that such things exist. That indeed there is some descendant of some primary, they are also primary. But you have encountered these things before. It's like a form is closed and exact, but then you should use the closed divided by exact, whatever, to describe the real things. Okay, let's go hunting for a null state. So at the level one, there is, and that's all, that's the only thing we got. And I will demand L1 acting L minus one. So if it's a null state, at least this thing should happen. So remember, null state is a highest weight state. So you're really demanding for all n bigger equal to 1. But at least this should work. But we only have one state. So, well, let's see if I can do that. And this thing will become the commutator. And remember the other thing, after you switch, because h is the highest state, so we're already done. And this gave me n plus 1, n minus 1, acting h. So unless n equals 1, now it's silly, because n not bigger or equals to 1, then it already annihilated, so it's 0. And then when n equals 1, I get a 2h acting on h. So in order this to be true, for this guy actually to satisfy our criteria, become a null state, we actually require the conformal weight to be 0. So yes, in level 1, such things exist, but it's the identity. And remember that this first decedent of identity is 0. So it's there, but it's not very interesting. Okay, so now let's do level 2. On level 2, we have this thing, but so this is why we have something could be interesting, because at level 2, we have two guys. It's probably true that if I do the same analysis, neither of this guy would be an interesting null state. But since these two guys has the same energy, so which means maybe the linear combination with a coefficient alpha would work. This is your question yesterday, right? They could be L minus N and then L minus N over 2 squared. So this is indeed what we're going to propose, is that we hope that with some choice of alpha, we are able to find the null state. Okay, so now let's demand that first this guy equals 0. So now we have to do some more calculation with this algebra, which this gives you L3. Now we get to give you 3 minus 1 h. And then this gives, okay, so I automatically turn into a commutator and the other one disappeared and I use the commutator. So here we can turn into a commutator and the other one become irrelevant. And this is just a things we always do, is that if you have this commutator, you can split it up. You can just write these two commutators out. So this comes from this. And the other term vanish. And then this will have to done a lot of time. This gives 2h. So now a lot of the equal signs occurring in this lecture is assuming they will eventually acting on a highest weight. So if I get anything that annihilates the highest weight, they were just ignored. So this commutator we know it's 2h, and it's another 2h. So this gives me 3 plus 4H alpha acting on something. Okay, let me just check I didn't get it wrong. Aha, so this is problematic. Sorry, that is 2H, but this is actually 2L0. So this is 2L0 and then acting on H, which give you 2H. But this one is acting on L minus one acting on H, and this state actually has H plus one. So that's where I should recover some factors. Okay, so this guy together should be equals 3 plus 2H alpha and plus 2H plus 1. And this whole thing will acting on L minus. Still not right. Okay. And then we're going to demand this coefficient to be 0. So that no matter what, this state will satisfy the requirement that the L1 acting on this state will equal 0. So this is already very interesting. It says that you want to make a linear combination, and you want it to, at the first level, satisfy the lowest constraint from being a highest weight, which is the L1 acting on chi equals 0. That already tells you alpha is fixed. So let's carry on and do the next level. So of course now we requires L2 acting on this chi, which alpha is given by that expression. Now we demand that L2 acting on chi is also 0. And this guy is L2 acting on L minus 1, L minus 2 acting on H plus alpha, which is a known number now, square over H. Okay, so for this, we'll do some scratch paper calculation. Because apparently, if I don't do it, I make some mistakes. Okay, this thing acting on H is given by, wait, didn't we do this? Yeah, we did it somewhere over there. So that's 4H plus C over 2. Okay. And then there is the other guy. L2 acting on this guy, which again we have our cute formula says that we can split it up. And then it's just a bunch of more of Virzaro calculation. This is 3, 1. And then this is again 3 log 1, L minus 1 acting up each. And for the first guy, which we will do the commutator. Wait. Aha, 2 plus minus 1 is minus. That makes more sense.
1 minus 1?
Huh?
Just the minus 1? I cannot read. It's minus 1, minus 1, minus 1, minus 1?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out. So this gives you 3, L minus 1, and that one gave you also 3 minus 1, minus 1. So it seems to give me 6, L minus 1 squared over H. Why this? It was wrong. No, sorry. It's positive. L, the commutator of L2, L minus 1 should give you positive 1. And then we have the last step to swap this two, because that one already gave you 0, and this one should give you six H. Let me check if I'm doing nonsense. Apparently that's what it is. Okay, the rest of the part I needed the notes anyway. So the idea is that this guy will give us 4H plus C over 2 plus that guy, which is 6 alpha H, and then acting on H. Then we can set the coefficient equals to 0 again. And this tells us, since we know what is alpha is that a crazy thing. This tells us actually, if we know the conformal weight, then the structure constant is fixed too. And actually you can do some algebra and it should be this guy, which I think people are getting bored looking at me failing to do simple commutators. And you can actually solve this as a quadratic equation such that you will see the result is something like this. Okay, so after demanding level 1 and level 2 acting on the state, this thing is already solved. It says HC has to be, we can actually draw this on this plane. which I hope I'm able to draw it. So if you figure out when what is C equals zero, H is zero. And then there is another important point at a quarter, but this is. So what we say is that by demanding it's a null state on level one and level two, it should be a parabola, but it's not. So this is, we have to leave on this line. So if we leave on this line on the HC plane, we will find a null state. And now you might get worried. What if all, we still have an infinite amount of constraints? But that's okay. Because what we have been doing is trying to pass through the Ln. So suppose we do this process for Ln acting on chi. And what we always try to is to use some commutator to pass through this. And so eventually this acting on H, it will vanish. So if you do this process for anything bigger than two, you're going to be left with, so if you're doing L3 acting this, for any calculation, you'll be left with something positive acting H. So you just annihilate it. So this is okay, because for n bigger or to 3, Ln acting on chi automatically vanish. So it doesn't constrain this line further. So now we have done this once. And then it seems to be some tedious algebra that seems crazy to generate. How do we find the level three null state? Then you just do this again. This seems crazy. So Will decided to, well, some mathematician says, let's do this systematically. So how to do this thing systematically? We propose that we can call this guy this state V1 and this state V2. And the only thing we have been doing is actually, if you want to get everything out of this, what we are doing is actually calculating a matrix. So if given two states at the level two, and we are able to calculate this matrix, then looking for the null state is nothing but demanding this matrix has determined zero, because we're looking for the linear dependent state, because the state is null. So the easiest way to find this null state is systematically write a computer program and tell them what's the state, what's the algebra, and ask them to do all this, and then demand this determinant is zero. And at level two, we have done almost all the work, but if you calculate this, you get, so it's similar algebra. So this will be this one. And then you demand this determinant is zero, and you can factorize. It precisely gives you those two lines. So this is the result of solving this determinant equals zero, plus it also have a solution h equals zero. So, of course, this is craziness. But we have some mathematician, and in this case, a particular mathematician called Kac is our great friend. And he calculated this determinant, which is called the Kac determinant to all the n levels. So I'm just giving the result. And he calculate all these lines that you have to believe on. It's crazy. That's why I can't remember it. And what we have done so far is P equals 1, Q equals 2. So basically, you calculate a determinant for any n, you get this thing. And this is mainly says the partition number of the integer n minus pq. This tells us once you find the null state, and the decedent of the null state are always null state. So there is some degeneracy. So you're going to find that line, those two lines too, when you do the next level. So once you find some lines on HC plane, they remain. Okay, so now we have some lines, but then let's think about, come back to, so now looking for null state such that this four-point correlation function become determinant, it become the differential equations such that we can solve them, restrict us on some lines, and it might be a useful thing for me to draw some more lines. So that's what level two gives us, and you continue calculating, and you might find a line like this, which is PQ equals 2, 2. And this line is PQ equals 1, 2. And this line is PQ equals 2, 1. And then there's some lines over here. Is PQ equals 2, 3. And then there is some lines over here, which gives PQ equals 1, 3. And there's the interesting point of C equals 1 half. So after you calculate this determinant and plot all this H as a function of C, you get many lines, and you get more and more lines. So now let's come back and consider unitarity. Unitarity says that all these states on a certain level, we all demanding it has norm bigger than zero. So a much weaker condition is to demand the determinant of this matrix to be bigger or equal to zero. It's a much weaker condition. But if you have a negative eigenvalue, that means that there exists some state the norm is negative. So this is a much, much weaker condition. But what we now can do is something like says, okay, this part has determined negative. Then there is no unitary theory here. And then you can do it for level 3, you cross out more stuff. And you can do level 4, cross out more stuff. And you keep doing. Then what you have left, you will be left with. So you can even do it according to yesterday people's talk, that you can actually do it to a very tiny island without the infinite amount of symmetry. Now you have infinite amount of symmetry, you're actually left with only matter zero sets on this plane, which is a bunch of dots. And your best bet that some dots will work will be on some intersection of these lines. If you are in some interior, it's probably almost always clear that there's going to be some line crossing by and cross out that part. So your best bet is, for example, at C equals 1/2, you can read off what's the conformal, what kind of primary field exists, and that will give us the D equals 2 CFT we want. So that has also been done. So some mathematicians continue to work on this, and then that's what they call the unitary minimum model. So these people have done that to n equals infinity, and then look at what is left. What is left is central charge, indeed, is only is restricted to some discreted numbers. And the corresponding conformal weight is given by some formula. Notice that this formula has a symmetry if you change P and Q to something else, to this, which makes sense because each for a particular point which has a fixed C and a fixed H, it needs two lines to intersect it. So for example, this primary field is given by the intersection of 2, 1 and 1, 3. And the 2, 1 and 1, 3 precisely satisfy this thing, 1m = 3. So 1m = 3, you could have 2, 1, or you could have 1, 3. And this thing together will intersect and give you the desired conformal weight. And then there is another intersection between 2, 2 and 1, 2. And there is, there is the 1, 1 and the 2, 3. So this three intersection give the three primary field, one of them identity. Yep.
Can you explain again why are we constraining the CFT here? I mean, we want a null operator because it's easier to do stuff with null operators, but
no, we want the null operator is because if we have a null operator, we can find the differential equation of the correlation functions. And if you solve those differential equations, you will find the correlation functions. Otherwise, how do you propose to find the correlation functions?
And then assuming we have a null operator, we find the
Yes, if we have the null operator.
A primary.
That are primary, right? They are also primary. Then we have the differential equation of the 4-point mm-hmm. correlation function. And since it's a differential equation, you can just ask mathematics to solve it, which you have the 4-point correlation functions. But as soon as you have 4-point correlation function, you will be able to put constraints on the CIDK. And that's why we want the null state. And if without a null state, I have no idea how to calculate the four-point correlation function. So in the homework, we are actually going to take m equals 3, find the conformal weight of the primer operator, go back to the beginning of the class when we say we, so now we have belief because we just did it. We have belief such null state exists. We're going to find this differential equation of a four-point correlation function. And then we're going to find a constraint on those structure constants.
Are there primary operators with h bigger than 1?
Are there primary operators bigger than 1? Well, it's a good question. We can just stare at this beautiful formula to figure it out. Right? Well, for the 2D icing model, it certainly doesn't. I have to check if that h is bounded above by 1. Yeah, I have to check if some of these things. I'm sure if you lose the requirement of unitarity or minimum, you probably would find some. The question is, under this assumption, all these are a set of infinite number of solvable 2D CFTs. And under this assumption, could H be bigger than 1? I'm almost going to say no because of this formula. Right? You want the numerators to be bigger than this. I don't know. I have to check. So that's the end. That well, after this, you could we explored about this little much in that big orange Bible. And if you're interested, you should always continue your interest about D equals 2 CFT. And on the other hand, Dalimel, one of previous science and then did the PhD with David, is considered to be the expert on CFT. Hey, it's considered by Freddie. So hey, this happens to be around in the next few days. And if you are interested in learning about it more CFT, you should just ask him. He's actually the expert on conformal bootstrap. And I will be in the office and we can always discuss details about this, the things we cover. Or you can push me to learn more things. Okay, so that's the end.